This conference is being recorded.
So this is the Iacocca teleclass number two. Do a quick roll call. We've got Doug. We've got Aaron. We've got Steve. We've got Eric. Simone. We've got Peter. We've got Jeff. And who just joined?
It's Vance.
Hey, Vance.
Hey.
Thanks for dialing in. And then I have Jay, who decided to join us on this call with us as well, provide a little extra context. So let's jump into it. First, let's review a little teleclass etiquette. I won't go into these too much more as we kind of continue to have more teleclasses under our belts, but for the first few, I will repeat them. So, one, always bring your binders to the teleclass if your space and sort of location permits. No multitasking if possible, so turn off your computer screen, your cell phones, pagers if you're still rocking that, and Blackberries if you're still rocking that, frankly. Minimize background noise if you can, so go on mute if you think you're going to have a bunch of background stuff going on. We once had someone take a teleclass from a beach house, and evidently the beach house doubled as a wind tunnel, which was terrible for everybody. So be courteous to everybody else. No speakerphones if you can help it. I'm on a speakerphone right now, full acknowledgement, because I cannot help it. Tell us a name before you speak. All of you guys are in the same room. Most of you guys are in the same room, but for Jay and I and Jeff's benefit and Vance's benefit, it would be helpful to know who's talking. Stay on subject when we can. Sometimes tangents are unavoidable. Just acknowledge it if you're going down one. These calls are confidential. We'll post the recording to the portal as soon as we're done. And if we need to, let's take something offline. As always, if you have any kind of takeaway from the teleclass, which we hope you do, by all means, post an insight to the journal. It helps everybody's learning. And then we're going to go with dinner table conversation, not hub and spoke. So, any questions?
Good. No, we're good.
Awesome. So for the first, sort of 5 to 10 minutes, I want to just kind of go over what our agenda is for today. The key being, and it's been actually a focus the last, several posts on the e-journal, but it's really about what are you noticing and experiencing in your structural meetings. I hinted at this 2 weeks ago, and I'm following up with it. So, one of the things I'd like to ask for is any wins people have, especially in your structural meetings that you might have covered in your e-journal, which is great, or if you didn't cover it in your journal, by all means, this is a venue to bring it up.
Ruth, this is Aaron. I'll go real quick. And I wrote about this in the journal in response to something Peter posted, but just again real quickly, I think for us one of our big wins with structural meetings for the sales leaders was just taking those meetings to another location off of the floor and away from everybody else. It's really helped minimize those distractions and interruptions. It kind of helped us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Are you guys getting questions? I mean, this is related to the educate your environment component, but are you guys getting questions about why y'all are leaving the space?
No, we would do it once in a while, kind of as an ad hoc thing. So I think they all pretty well know that when all three or four of us get up at the same time and walk away from the room, anytime somebody walks into that kind of storage area and we're all in there talking, they've already been educated on that. They know that we're meeting and that it's closed.
Gotcha. Yeah. Probably raises more alarm if you point at someone specifically and then you all get up and walk out of the room.
Right. So.
Great. Any other wins from anyone else?
This is Vance, and one of the huge things that I found was just the time. I mean, we're a lot more effective now, and the time that we're spending off the floor, in which we're just way more efficient in our meetings and going in there with the appropriate agenda and knowing what the task is, and not trying to figure out on the plan to to overcome the task, but just who's going to be in charge of it and who's going to own that. And then, you know, we're in and out. You know, meetings are, we're seeing them just pretty much cut in half, and that's from the sales leaders all the way down to some of the structural meetings I have with the CEOs. So that's a huge one for me. It's just a time. As I've known before, we would be in meetings, you know, we will take them 30 minutes to sometimes an hour and a half. And I see, you know, a lot of the time now, the longest we're ever in there is 30 minutes. So that's a big win.
Hey, Rufus, it's Eric. I was going to say, double that. What I challenged the guys to do, the sales leaders, was what you hit on last week, teleconference, was what's the purpose? If you're going to pull three or four people off the floor, off the phones that are not producing anything for 30 minutes, what's the return? What's the behavior you're trying to ingrain, or what is the point? We have so many ad hoc putting out fires, hey, let's go fix this, let's go talk for 2 hours, and the same things were popping up. So now it's more of a structured, defined purpose, and then there's an accountability piece on the end. It's ingraining behaviors, if you will.
That's awesome. And, you know, Eric, I do want to acknowledge your post. I believe it was from yesterday. It was a great e-journal post. It hit all the big points, the big takeaways, 4 to 5 sentences. I mean, it was pretty outstanding. And one of the things I can really appreciate is you connected your focusing time to the impact that it had through the week with specific reference to your structural meeting. So thank you for that.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Anyone else? Any other wins?
Well, this is Doug. I just wanted to say that I had a meeting a couple of weeks ago with Vance, and it actually ran long, and posted about that, and I got a lot of great feedback from the group. What I was really cognizant of in the last few meetings that I've had, either with Steve, Eric, or Steve and Jeff, is that we were really good on our hard stop, and that certainly modeled the behavior of, you know, what I should be doing and looking at my meetings is to be respectful of that. So that was a good takeaway for me.
Awesome.
Hey, Ruth, this is Ramon. A good win that I gained from is the fact that the structural meetings are in a sense structured and they're planned. The challenge, you know, when we reset the dial in Recon, that the meeting is at this time, this is the topic, this is what we're going to do. Seeing the team come in more prepared every week to participate has added a lot of value, because now, you know, taking, you know, some of the advice that I got, some of the feedback that I got about, you know, not participating rather facilitate, it allowed me to step back and actually assume the role to facilitate and let the guys run the meeting and run with their ideas and put them out there, so the participation has actually gotten better. The opportunity, though, that I saw is educating our environment to decrease some of the distractions that we're getting throughout the meeting. And we do it at lunchtime and have lunch, and so I can't imagine that my guys are getting hit during their lunchtime so they can't even sit down and eat. So we're going to have to figure out a way to educate our environment that, hey, we have actually a working lunch and things like that. But the participation has increased.
That's interesting. So what are some, you know, I'm going to deviate a little bit here. I really appreciate that experience. So what are some ways you think you can actually educate the environment outside of actually just telling them, right?
Posting the what I was going to do was posting a working lunch or just posting our structured meeting agenda so that, you know, people would know that, hey, this is a block time for a meeting or whatever, and this is the start and this is the end time. These are your point of contacts to go to if some assistance is needed during this time. That was some of the things that I was thinking of. Maybe let, you know, Eric and team know, hey, this is, you know, this is where we are, this is what we're doing, so that, you know, they can respect that space and block time for us.
Yeah, I love those ideas. And I think those should help sort of progress it in an asynchronous way, which is really useful. Another option for you, just off the top of my head, is that if the meeting content is appropriate and you feel like you can do it with the right people, you may want to even invite them in for 5 to 10 minutes at the beginning of the meeting so they can just observe what you guys are doing in there during that time. More than likely, they're going to get a very clear sense that it's a meeting, not just you guys hanging out or a space that they would want to even try to interrupt. But you may have to bring them in to show them what it's about first. It also gives them an opportunity to sort of see, depending on who it is, the progression, right, that eventually they will be invited into this meeting to talk about specific things. Again, we got to use judgment with that technique, but it's a potential option to really drive the point home. I appreciate you you sharing. So anybody else got any other wins?
This is Peter. It's a very small win, but yesterday, really for the first time in a couple weeks, we had a very efficient huddle, and we had it done within 15 minutes. Everybody was prepared. We went through the purchases efficiently. And to contrast that, on Monday, we had all sorts of distractions. Phones were going off. People were coming down with appraisals. And the huddle took 45 minutes because it was completely disorganized. And you know, that's really on me to help with getting more organized and educating an environment. So what I'm going to be able to do is figure out what the best time is and talk to Eric and Doug and ensure that they know that in this specific time frame we'll be in a huddle. And if we do that, it'll be much more efficient. We'll get our huddles done quickly, and the appraisals will still be done, but they may not be done that second, but they'll be done shortly after we're done with our huddle. And if we do that, everybody will be a little bit more efficient.
What do you all discuss in the huddle?
We go over the purchases for the day, talk about any trends that we're seeing, talk about where we're going to be at the following day, what we expect to get out of the following day's purchases.
If that's the review, why not do those at 8 a.m. when sales is here before the auctions haven't started?
Do it the following day.
It's very little difference between the end of the day and the next morning, but it's hard for them to interrupt the retail. They have no control over the retail side, but they're not here 8 to 9. I mean, you have that whole hour to, there's no interruptions, and that's, but I don't know how you stop for 20, 30 minutes in the middle of prime time retail.
I didn't think about that. I think that might be a good alternative.
That's great. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that, is part of your assignments, you might, if you're looking for e-journal posts outside of just the wins that you get from structural meetings, which I think a lot of these wins are important to gain momentum, just the contrast between what feels like a good structural meeting and what doesn't, because you guys are going to start to have experiences where you have these wins and you acknowledge them, but I think equally important is acknowledging when it doesn't go right and gain something why. That would be a nice, juicy e-journal topic when it comes up. So I'm throwing that out there for you guys.
One thing I like about that proposal is really that time period has always been tough, but I really never thought about switching it to another time. But thinking about it now, there's going to be very little distraction from 8 to 9, and that would be a time period that people would be a little bit more efficient. So I think that's something that
Get them away from that. So a lot of times I notice when Lear and Johnny are at their desk, they're multi. If you can get them off their desk and hold the meeting where they can't go to the computer, I think you'll have much more success. So whether that's in the break room or wherever, even in here, but I think you'll have more success if you. I do it even in my own office. If I find I have it, I notice the difference between the meeting I have at my desk versus the meeting I have at the little table, and I'm much more present at the table than I am at the desk.
I think that's something we can try.
Yeah.
And that'll really help.
Great. Well, thank you. thank you guys for sharing the wins. I really appreciate it, and I'm finding myself very deeply appreciative of how open you guys have been to adopting a lot of this stuff. It feels like you guys are getting a lot more wins a lot faster than I think they or I have typically experienced with most executive teams. And I think a big contribution to that is just openness to get messy a little bit, and if it works, great, and if it doesn't, I'll figure out why and I'll make adjustments, right? There's a lot of cycles that are going on here. So thank you for that, because I think it will enrich the rest of this course over the next, you know, I guess now 48 to 50 weeks. So.
Hey, Ruth, this is Steve.
Yeah.
I'm still not having much success with the dynamic agenda. Just the I find that I could actually take the structured agenda and just add notes and follow-up. But I'm just a little, like when I look at your example of supersized sales, win rate, approved new pay plan, I'm still having trouble linking between the imperative and the initiative. And then the executive team plan, I'm assuming that's the item that they want the executive team to really approve or discuss. And then, but when I look at next steps and notes, they really don't relate to the sales plan, the new sales plan. So can you speak a little bit to the dynamic agenda and a little bit more and how that supports the structured agenda?
Yeah. Actually, you know, Jay has a lot of context here, and so I'm going to actually – he's asked to jump in. So let me turn it over to Jay real quick, and then I'll offer anything outside of what he has covered.
Yeah, so, you know, first off, if you're if you're struggling with the imperative and the initiative, those aren't have-to-haves in managing the dynamic agenda. So if those are kind of being the block right now, I would – elect to potentially not try to use those two particular columns. And I'll come back here in a second and talk about where those two actually might make more sense down the road. But for right now, let's just ignore those two pieces and think about kind of what we're calling on there, you know, the executive team item, or you could just call that the action item. That piece right there is really – what are we actually going to discuss or make a decision on in the particular meeting? So if you can just get concise about real and really clear about what is it that I'm actually wanting to – what's the outcome that I really want here for this particular meeting, and just get that down.
Okay.
And in a clear and concise way, then – The date is going to be, again, what meeting – what's the date of the next meeting? I want to talk about that. Obviously, you've got your owner and or some – you know, whether that's an individual or a team out there. The next step really is just, hey, is there anything that we need to do in advance of actually being able to have that discussion or make that decision? We need to review – we all need to review, you know in your world, you know, we may all need to review the weekly purchasing dashboard in order to make a decision about do we want to make any adjustments to the profile of cars that we want to buy for the upcoming quarter.
Yeah.
And then if you can just get those four pieces down and start using that, I think it might come a little bit more alive for you.
Yeah, and one of the things I've done is I've just listed it as a coaching topic. Jay's coming there live for most of your coaching sessions. I might actually join him on some of these as well. I think there's a lot of value in actually utilizing it live with us, live in a meeting, because you'll see how we actually manage the sheet and how it sort of just starts to populate and fill on its own over a period of time. This is a little, you know, permission to be messy here, but one of the things we could do at some point is if you guys have topics you want to bring up in either a teleclass or a coaching session, we should just create a dynamic agenda for that, which actually allows you guys to fill the topics up over the week, and then when we get to it, we can actually use it, work with it together, and then sort of get a cycle on the tool. Does this make sense? It doesn't have to be that way, but I'm throwing that out there as an idea. because there is a lot of value in actually seeing the live demonstration of it, especially as you move forward in the course, because you're getting a lot more things thrown on your plate in a hurry.
Yeah. That's actually really good. I made a note that maybe in our 225 session next Wednesday that we maybe just build one out and utilize it live and in the room. The other piece is where, and this is kind of, again, I would focus on getting the core pieces down, the imperative and initiative piece, where that's actually going to come in handy is at the executive team level. When you guys are meeting, over time, you want to start to be able to connect the conversation that you're having to things on your 2x2. And if you're having a lot of conversations that aren't on the 2x2, that's an indication that maybe we either have some misalignment with our 2x2, don't have the right initiatives, or we've got some things that are coming up that we might need to solve that might need their own initiative on the 2x2. If that's making sense. I don't know if I did a good job articulating the why that's there. But it's more of a filter.
Does that help at least partially clarify what you're looking for?
Yeah, no, I like the definition of the executive team. What is the outcome? What for the meeting? The next step, is anything we need to do before in advance to executing on the decisions? Yeah, so that's very helpful.
Great. So, Steve, you kind of jumped into dynamic agenda. That was one of my follow-on topics, but I'm actually going to use the implementation plan to sort of kind of work through making sure everybody's hitting the things that they need to hit on their implementation plan. So, dynamic agenda, we talked about weekly focusing and structural meetings, I think, quite a bit in the first couple weeks here. This is week three of sort of coaching / teleclass, and it feels like you guys have a pretty strong foundation there, and we're going to continue to ask you to reiterate that foundation. Dynamic agenda, you know, if you're not using it weekly, let's figure out how you can get a couple more cycles with it. It sounds like we have a couple ideas for next week in terms of making sure everyone gets the win there. E-Journal posts, I don't have much concern on. In terms of personal productivity, has everyone gotten their Outlook e-Journal rules set up?
Yeah.
Great. So that's a win for everyone. One of the assignments was practice weekly focusing for 3 weeks and then post insights. And so we're kind of right around that 3-week period. So if you haven't practiced it for 3 weeks in a row, obviously try to get your cycles in and then see what you can post. And again, acknowledgement to Eric for sort of tying it in a judo move with his structural meeting. So appreciate it. On team effectiveness. So we've talked about structured meetings. I think you guys have implemented quite a bit of that. How are ground rules holding up for you?
This is Peter. They're not going very well.
Okay. So this is I appreciate the candor. Let's talk about that in terms of some of the things you're experiencing, and we can either try to work through some quick solutions now on the call, or I've got it listed as a potential coaching topic for Jay next week.
Well, I think that Steve offered up a good solution, which is moving times. Really, I find the biggest issue is that we have our meetings at a time when truckers are calling the buyers to transport the vehicles. It's a busy time for sales, so there's a lot of trade appraisals, and that's really more a reflection of the fact that that time is an inefficient time to have the huddle more than anything. Yes, we're breaking the ground rules, but it's probably more because it's not a time where we can really adhere to the ground rules. So I think one solution would be moving the time to a period that we rarely do have distractions, and I think that's something that could really help us.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else have any experience with ground?
Yeah, this is Vance, and I'm still having. I posted about this about my weekly meeting, structural meeting with my CEOs. I have, and just the phones. I mean, that's a huge distraction for me. But being in the sales environment, I mean, I'm coming to a point where I'm just, you know, kind of telling myself, I guess I got to be okay with knowing that there are going to be these distractions in which the CEO feels like, I need to take care of this customer right now. I cannot let this hold on, even though we may be going over some really good topics in our meeting.
Yeah, so thanks for that. I mean, you know, this notion of firewalling, right, emergencies for customers, et cetera, has come up, I think. It started in the first teleclass. I think Jay touched on it quite a bit when he came and actually coached with you guys and saw the space and saw how it actually interacts with you. Is that really, with respect to the CEOs, is there, let me ask you a clarifying question. Is every customer request being addressed as part of this phone distraction that you're feeling?
I really couldn't even tell you because, you know, I don't know how those conversations are going. It seems as if it's more of just not wanting to miss the opportunity to gain some information from the customer or just to have the contact with the customer. Because a lot of these guys deal with, you know, talking to a customer and maybe only getting one opportunity to talk to them per day. So they just feel like, I don't want to miss this opportunity. I have to do this. And it may not be an emergency on the customer side. It's just the mind frame in which the CEOs have, you know, with their customers.
So that's interesting, and I want to open this up to the broader team for a little bit of discussion. But is it? I mean, in a lot of businesses, frankly, you get one shot at it. When someone calls in, you've got to be ready with your pitch. You've got to be ready with your information. Otherwise, you miss them, and if you miss them, they're really hard to track down again. Is that the case usually?
That's what it seems like. Like I said, it may not be an emergency, but that's what I feel like it is. Because if it was something where it was that important, I would completely understand. But half the time, you know, the customer is probably calling back and just saying, "Hey, I'm just letting you know I faxed over my stipulations." Mm-hmm. And okay, that's it. So it's a lot of the time. Like I said, I never really dive into saying what happened on that phone call. But that's what I think the CEOs struggle with is they say, I have to do this right now, and, you know, that's what it comes down to.
So,
Hey, Vance.
You know, the broader question.
I think.
Go ahead.
Hey, Vance. It's Jeff. I think it comes down to, again, a couple of things we've already talked about. Location, taking the CEOs into the mezzanine area away from their desks and just saying, all phones off, and then you can have an effective, you know, 15 minutes standing up and really focus and not be multitasking. I think it's more of a mindset that we've it's a fine balance that we've got to wrestle with as an operation, which is the fine balance between being responsive to customers but taking the time to, you know, improve and develop our own performance as a business. And, you know, I suspect very few of those calls are, you know, the customer's, you know, burning issue that must be taken in the moment. But it's a perception that if I don't take that call there and then. So it's just educating the team to say, hey, look, these are really important. Get them away from that environment and get the phones off. And I think you'll gradually get buy-in.
Yeah, and we are away from the sales environment. We typically go downstairs to the conference room, or we go up into the Eagle's Nest. But something else you just mentioned was the time, and I think that's something where I need to do a better job of. Right now my meeting is for an hour. I maybe need to shorten that up, and be more effective, you know, in a smaller window of time. That way these distractions don't come up. Because I understand that the longer time, there's more opportunity there for distractions to arise.
And I think that's a good point, because I think my personal experience is, you know, often in these meetings, particularly when you're trying to start the rhythm, is less is more. You know, if you it's better to have a punchy but slightly imperfect 30-minute meeting with all phones off away, and just to build that habit and appreciation of the meeting rather than, you know, have a one-hour meeting where half the audience is getting fidgety and kind of, you know, looking at the clock.
Exactly. Yeah, thanks for that. That's some good insight.
It's great.
Hey, Vance, it's Steve. there anybody, the issues that you're dealing with, why, if you're in a meeting, why couldn't Mike Hungowski or Aaron or Ashley handle those for you? Why is
this request
unique to you?
I mean, they're not my issues. They're the personal issues that the CEOs are dealing with. So it's not something that I think we could, you know, put in control. I don't think the CEOs know that their customers are going to call them at that particular time. I've tried educating them on when their customers know, hey, I'm not going to be available between 1 and 2 o'clock. So if you can, give me a call back after that. So we've tried that route, but, you know, maybe one of the other issues is that I have Mike in the meeting with me as well, and we have 6 CEOs all in the same meeting. So and it's actually five.
Because having you and Mike off, and then, I mean, you and Mike away, typically at least either Eric, Aaron, or Ashley are off one of those days, so you're down 3 people by having you and Mike in the same meeting. I think maybe if you take Jeff's advice, shorten it to a half hour, take the location, educate your environment, and then you and Mike have separate meetings. That way he can cover for you while you're out the 30, 45 minutes and vice versa. I think that's going to help free you up quite a bit. And the other thing you can do, one thing I've started to do with is kind of test my assumptions. So you're saying is your big assumption is the customer needs me now. And so we go in and test that assumption. So next time you have that feeling the customer needs me now, try to capture, okay, let me take the call and let me game film it and see, is this a situation where the customer actually needed me or not? And I think if you test your big assumptions, you'll either confirm them that, yes, actually, these are situations that need me, or you'll have a different view and say you'll disprove your assumption. And I think until you really test the assumption, you're not going to really know. But I would definitely recommend splitting you and Mike up, because having the two of you, and I don't know what day y'all do it on.
Monday, like 1.
So Aaron's off, so now you're down 3 people. And it's a Monday, which is one of the busiest days of the week. So I think it's a tough challenge.
Yeah, that's huge, and I will take that into consideration and make some changes there moving forward. Thanks.
All right. Good discussion, guys. With respect to the implementation plan, I'm not going to go much further into it because we're going to start to push into problem solving versus informing, dynamic agenda tool, and then the corporate 2x2. And in fact, the next teleclass, 2 weeks from now, will actually be a deeper dive into the corporate 2x2. So that's the review of the implementation plan. The next section of this particular call is going to feel slightly repetitive, but I'm going to call on people specifically, just basic fundamental drilling. This will feel a bit, again, redundant for now, but as you guys get into the program, the amount of content you're going to face is simply going to be somewhat overwhelming, so you want to get the fundamentals in now. So with that, I'm just going to call on people and ask some basic questions. So I'll start with Doug. Thanks for being the first on the call with Aaron. What is a structural meeting?
Structural meetings where I have a game plan. It's a recurring, can be a recurring meeting, can be a one-off, but it's built out in the future. I also will contain the attendees, the purpose of the meeting, and then also I would send it out to the participants so that they could prepare.
That's great. Thank you. Aaron, you mentioned a couple of the tools that help sort of make a structural meeting productive. What are some other tools?
The dynamic agenda.
definitely for us has been a driving tool, getting us organized and, like Doug said, going in prepared and having everybody on the same page before we even go in.
That's right. I agree with that. Eric, any other tools in a structural meeting that would be helpful for you?
Dynamic agenda. What is the specific purpose of the meeting? Key points to be discussed for alignment purposes?
That's right. I would agree. And Peter, any other tools?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So a couple other things that I think would be useful. Ground rules always help in a structural meeting, especially if you have buy-in from your team on what those ground rules are and how to utilize them. Open loops and parking lots, spaces in which we can actually plug things that would either distract our purpose of our meeting or outcomes of the meeting that we want. And then finally, the 2x2. Having a 2x2 in these meetings, especially as you guys get tighter and tighter on what initiatives you're going to be focusing on, will be extremely helpful in just keeping focus. Those are just a few. Steve, can you tell me the difference between a structural meeting and an ad hoc meeting?
Yeah, especially since I have so many ad hoc meetings, I've got that down pretty good. Ad hoc meetings are a meeting that is not scheduled from the attendees. It's a topic that pops up. You feel a need to immediately resolve it, and you call a meeting unannounced, and there's no really prepared agenda in advance versus the structured meeting, which has a regular occurring time and a consistent group of attendees in the meeting. Ad hoc does not have it's not scheduled regularly, and it doesn't always have the consistent group of attendees to do so.
Great. Thank you for that. Switching away from a little bit of the grilling here, here's an open-ended question that I just want to pose out to you guys, and you may or may not be ready for it, but I'm going to pose it out there for a little bit of discussion, which is, are there junior members of your team in these structural meetings, and B, at what point will you start to feel comfortable handing the reins of these structural meetings, more of the reins of these structural meetings, off to junior members to create more leverage?
This is Vance, and I think once I feel like I have it down and I feel we have the rhythm of the meeting taking place, I feel like I would be more comfortable handing it off. But until I get the behaviors in line with, you know, the meetings taking place and the rhythm of them, I won't feel comfortable in doing so.
Okay.
This is Ramon. Yes, I do have a junior level associates, if you will, in the meeting, and I'm at a position where I'm trying to back up and let them run it so that they can have the ownership, the buy-in of the meeting, and get the true effect for the purpose of the meeting. And what I found is by planting the seed prior to going into the meeting about, hey, this is what we're discussing. In fact, what I've done is I have 4 questions that we discuss. The questions basically don't change, but the content of the answers do based on our performance the previous week. And so by lining out that piece, I'm able to let them run it, and I can do a little bit more facilitating, asking why or what did you see or what did you think. I just followed that format. It made it so much easier.
That's great. That's fantastic. It's an interesting notion, right? Anybody else have any experience with bringing junior team members in?
This is Aaron. I mean, we do our daily huddles with the entire CEO staff. I think one of the ideas we floated out there at one point and never really revisited was the idea of potentially lining up some of the CEOs who have expressed interest in advancing to kind of hand them the reins of organizing and hosting and running the huddle, just to kind of give them that those small doses of leadership. I think that's probably an idea we should revisit and use it maybe as a tool to develop leadership in some of the CEOs who have expressed that desire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because ultimately at the end of the day, to get the real leverage you guys want, you're going to have to start taking pieces of your time back. One of the ways you're doing it, right, so right now you have meetings. Sometimes they run long. Sometimes they're taking up more time than they really should because you have to prepare for them. You have to get your head around what you're trying to accomplish. Execution of them doesn't always go the way you want, yada, yada, yada. Completely understood. And there has to be a moment where you can start to hand off some of the reins and allow others to flourish in order for you to flourish, right? And I use that very consciously because that's the name of the game here at the end of the day. So start looking for opportunities. You know, Vance, one of the comments you made was, hey, I need to get more comfortable before I can really bring someone in. Completely valid. And I will challenge you, which may not be 100% comfortable, but I'm going to challenge you to find even just small nuggets of these meetings where you can hand it off to someone who's capable and wants to quote-unquote skin their knees a little bit so you can just start to get a cycle in, right?
You know, that really kind of piggybacks, this is Doug, that on our speed of trust meetings that we're having currently, and we're practicing really extending trust to people, and we've really kind of figured out that if you do it in small doses, you know, so like in to tie it back to what we're talking about, if you just give a portion of the meeting, you know, to that person or to a person, to talk about, that starts to, you know, we extend the trust. We are able to give them feedback and gain moment afterwards with them, what they did, how they did. And then we can build that repetition. And as we get more comfortable with them, the more of the meeting that that person or people could take over. I think it really piggybacks nicely to what we're doing and what we're doing with Speed of Trust.
That's great. Thank you for making that connection. Well, we're at about 15 minutes until the hour of our call, and what I want to do is actually start the takeaways a little earlier this time and potentially give you a few minutes back in your day. So with that, you know, does anybody have any takeaways, just even out of this call, that you felt, you know, is worth sharing with the group? Doug, you started us off with the takeaway, so
sure.
I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, my takeaway for today predominantly is really evaluating the time and the location, and because I think those two things really can have the greatest impact on whether or not we're having a productive meeting, and I guess I'd also throw in the ground rules too.
Yeah, I appreciate that as well. You know, it's interesting, right, because if you try to get a fairly serious piece of work done in the middle of a football game, time and location has massive impacts on how productive you are. Why would that be any different for a meeting, right? I find myself, you know, sort of feeling that takeaway was really important today, which is just basic shifts in the timing of when we meet to give ourselves the best chance of being productive. You do that with all the focus you guys already have on the content of the meetings, and you're going to start to see movement. A good takeaway.
I think also an observation from this is Jeff, for me is the conversations we've had, that point, the where, the structure and the form of the meeting are really, really important, but then also to consider the customers. Not, I don't just mean our customers in the case of the buyers, their customers are the transportation people and the sales team that come to them and want stuff from them. To think about how the attendees of the meeting are going to be served, but how their customers are going to be served as well. So that would point to a different time for, say, the sales meeting that Vance was talking about, or the buyers meeting that Peters was talking about, as well as thinking about, you know, what works in the structure of the meeting with regard to location, length of meeting, et cetera. And putting a lot of thought on that, I think, is my big takeaway. Because too often we just jump into a meeting and say, look, here's an agenda. We've sort of ticked the structured meeting box, as opposed to really thinking about all the other elements of the meeting.
Yeah. Thanks.
Anyone else with some takeaways?
Yes, sir. We're at such a pivotal crossroads in our company, the behaviors, the processes we're putting in place, and we come out of these meetings. Me personally, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and there's like 17 things that have changed or moving or that we're trying to refine. And I started breaking it down in 1 hour blocks for my day, and I have a list because I can just get inundated with, you know, oh, 17 things we say yes to, and I've got to pull two or three in and go, this is where I got to spend my time today. Yesterday, I was pretty effective. I was off the floor a lot more than I wanted to be yesterday, but I've got a bunch of stuff that Jeff and Steve and the team know about. I've got a bunch of personnel shifts and other stuff we're trying to fix. But yesterday, I was very effective. I kept rechecking where I was for the day, and I was like, I've done this. It's just a matter of the focusing piece, and it's the time management, because my day, if I don't stay on top of it, I will get sucked into so much minutia. And I challenge myself. I'm like, why am I – two times yesterday, I was like, why am I dealing with this at my level for what I'm brought in to do? I should be handing this shit off to someone else. And this is systemic because it's coming back to me. And I'm like, God, we missed this three times before it got to me. And that's where I'm just trying to challenge myself to go back and have those conversations with the misses one, two, and three because I'm now four. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're getting into is really the objectification of the work, right? So how you do things, look, you're in a role that you're in right now because you excel at what you do. A lot of times, A players don't know how they actually do it. They just do it, right? And you got to start objectifying exactly what you do and how you think about it and then teaching everybody downstream, which takes a lot of effort and time. And frankly, I'll be very honest, I'm terrible at this. I can do stuff on my own, and oftentimes it's faster for me to do it myself as opposed to give it to anybody else.
Right.
But that consumes my time, and it deleverages me instead of increases my leverage. So if I stop and actually put myself in a little bit of an uncomfortable place and say, how exactly am I going to approach this work? What are the steps I would take? And I actually write those down. And I may not know all of them, right? So there's a little bit of vulnerability there. But if I can get most of them down and I can give that list off to somebody and ask them to fill in the rest if we miss things, I at least get a half step closer towards getting out of the let me do everything and let them feed me with stuff that I need to keep doing. That's a challenge you're going to be facing over a longer period of time, and I'm glad you're recognizing it now because it's going to take work, very frankly. And there are some people who, you know, work at it for a very long time before they make any real progress. But, you know, being aware of it is the first step. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I don't have that time, luxury to have a long time to figure it out because I got to figure it out today, yesterday, and the day before. Very sharp learning curve, very different business model. I challenge myself daily going, man, I got to get better at something today. What am I going to get better at? If I can get better at just one thing a day and ingrain some kind of behavior, some kind of support some system, at least that's a win that's going to pay off dividends down the road. Might not today, but it'll pay off down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I get that. So the other thing I would think about is, like, look, the structure of this program was first clear the space, which is what we're trying to do. So that way you do have a little bit of time in your day, even if it's just an hour, to make progress on sort of this type of problem, which is how do I get my guys up to speed in a way that allows them to continually free more time up for me later.
So keep looking for opportunities, and I completely get the balance, right? Use context on what the balance of what you just have to get done versus what you can teach or give off to somebody. And actually, you know, it may feel more inefficient early than later, right? So you may actually have to take the leap of just giving it to someone knowing it's going to take them longer to do.
Couldn't have said any better. That's where I was going. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other things?
This is Vance. My key takeaway is just in my structural meetings is the time frame, shortening the time frame from an hour to, I'm going to start with 30 minutes next week to where I could be more effective in a smaller window of time and, you know, get more out of these guys. And that there is just going to immediately result into, you know, less time in which there could be any distractions. Who I have in the meetings, you know, there's no reason for me to have me and Mike in the meeting at the same time. I'm taking somebody off the floor he can be very effective out there while I'm in a meeting and provide coverage. So I think that's something moving forward in which I need to be more aware of who I have in the meetings and what is the reason for them. So I'm going to work on that moving forward.
That's great. Anyone else?
This is Steve. My big takeaway was the link between dynamic agenda and structural meetings. I think coming into this meeting, I was actually viewing them as one of the same, and now Jay really helped me understand how the dynamic agenda is a tool for the structural meeting to really keep more structure. A lot of times I'll go into the structural meetings with a list of agenda items to talk about, and I can see now how using the dynamic agenda can narrow that focus to say, do we need to talk about all these items? They all may be important, but they may not be important this week, and we're better off identifying the one or two most important topics to talk about this week and nail those as opposed to going too broad. And so I now see a much better use of the dynamic agenda for the structured meeting. So thank you, Jay.
Awesome.
Hey, Ruth, any on the personal productivity, team effective, organization focus and alignment, typically in the ILP there were suggested dates of completion. Do you have, just to make sure everyone's on track, by the end of February, where would you have liked to see the team, where should we be just as kind of a check-in point to make sure we're on pace?
Yeah, so if we look back, the first kind of real week of the implementation plan was 126, I believe. So end of February put you about a month in. You would have had, in most cases, several opportunities to hit structural meetings, several opportunities to do ground rules, and several opportunities to do dynamic agenda. So what I would consider is everything on your personal productivity at this point, by the end of February, should be completely checked off.
Mm-hmm.
Half. Right, so the top half, basically on team effectiveness, so you should have already reviewed the concepts. Implement the structural meetings, post your experience, check by the end of February. Ground rules, email it to you guys have already done this one. After using ground rules in 5 meetings, post e-journal. Some of you have, some of you haven't. We talked about it a little bit here. By the end of February, I would expect you to start delving into the bottom half of that actions list on team effectiveness, which is really about problem solving versus informing, the experience of that, dynamic agenda, 5 meetings. Those are probably for the back half of the quarter. And then on the organizational focus and realignment, you guys are starting to refine your corporate 2x2, posting it. The back half of, you know, the last thing we'll cover in this quarter is the game filming exercise, which Jay will take you guys through. Does that help clarify?
Yes. For For me, it does.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, guys. If there's nothing else, remember to post whatever you can on the e-journal. Keep that momentum alive because it's going to become an incredible tool later, especially for you to look back on. If you have any questions in the meantime, feel free to reach out to Jay or myself. I very much so appreciate the participation and engagement on this call as well as on the e-journal. Again, you guys are making some incredible headway, and I'm just thrilled with how open you are to getting messy early. So with that, that concludes our teleclass, and I appreciate it. Next week, Jay's live with you guys. So.
Sounds
thank
good.
You so much.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.
Thanks.